Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
After 1500 years of civilization, the violence and wickedness of the people living on earth greatly upset God. In fact, the Bible says that God was grieved that he had made the human race. He resolved to righteously wipe every living person and creature from the face of the earth. But one man named Noah found favor in God's sight, and God revealed to him what he planned to do. As Noah built an ark under God's direction, he also warned the people watching him that there would be a great flood to destroy everything and everyone that they could see. He urged them to change their ways, but no one except his own family believed what he said. The people checking Noah's building progress even made fun of him and his sons hard at work. They scorned and ridiculed Noah, but he never wavered. When we too are scorned for obeying God, we need to remember Noah's courage and continue to obey the Lord. After all the preparations were complete and the ark was ready to float, God shut the door and he broke open the water fountains of the deep, causing a huge flood that covered the face of the earth. It was so huge that a similar flood could never be repeated. At the same time, blinding rain poured out of the skies for 40 days and 40 nights. The floodwaters rose higher and higher, covering even the highest mountains on earth at the time. Every person and every breathing thing on the face of the earth was destroyed, except for those who were safe in the ark. God predicted this would happen, and it did. In Hebrews chapter 10 it says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God."
The fury of the tempest continued for 40 days. Amid the warring elements, the ark continued to ride safely. As the waters began to subside, the Lord caused the ark to drift into a spot protected by a group of mountains. The ark moved about in this quiet haven and was no longer driven upon the boundless ocean. 40 days later, they sent out a raven. This bird, finding nothing but water, continued to fly to and fro from the ark.
There's no dry land yet.
In 7 days, they again sent forth a bird.
Here it comes back. Oh, there's still no dry land.
Another 7 days, and another bird was sent forth from the ark.
Here she comes back. With an olive leaf in her mouth.
Oh, dry land at last.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, now we can leave the ark.
No, my dear, not yet. First, we must open the covering of the ark and see where we are.
They removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry.
Now we can go out, Father Noah.
My dear, we entered the ark at God's command, and we'll wait for special direction from him before we depart.
At last.
I am come with a message. God bids you go forth from the ark, and take with you every living thing that is within the ark, that they may be fruitful and multiply abundantly in the earth.
So Noah and his sons freed all the animals that had been saved within the ark. Then the birds were loosed.
Ah, what a beautiful sight! The birds soaring up into the sky, filled with the pure joy of freedom.
When all the birds and animals and insects had been let out of the ark, Noah led forth his family onto Mount Ararat. And there they builded an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings.
Ah, up in the sky, a half circle of colors.
What is it, Father?
It's a rainbow.
Why is it up there?
God put it in the sky as a token of his promise that he will never again destroy the earth with a flood.
For 150 days, the floodwaters completely covered the whole earth. Near the end of this time, God sent a strong wind over the earth, and the waters slowly receded. The ark had been floating above the highest mountains by 25 feet, or 7.5 metres, but as the waters dried up, the ark settled on the mountains of Ararat in present-day Turkey, one of the highest areas in the Middle East. Today, Mount Ararat is measured at 17,000 feet, or 5,000 metres high. In Psalm 104, the writer speaks of God removing the floodwaters from the earth so that Noah and his family, together with all living creatures in the ark, could survive on land again. God set a height limit on the earth's waters to keep them from covering the whole earth again. Since the time of Noah's flood, God now also sends rain to make the grass and plants grow for food. God has provided all the necessities for people and living creatures to prosper again. How very thankful we should all be for God for his mercies that he gave to Noah and his family, and for what he's given us today. Let us express our appreciation in worship and praise of our very great God. In Genesis chapters 7 and 8, the verses are very specific about the days and months that certain things happened during Noah's flood. It states that the ark came to rest on Mount Ararat on the 17th day of the 7th month. The Lord Jesus was slain, but then rose 3 days later, which was on the 17th day of the 7th month of the Jewish civil calendar. Are such events mere coincidence, or does God plan out all such things? Those who love God know that he has an incredible ability to make things work out for the good of his loved ones so that nothing happens by chance. A year and 17 days after God called Noah into the ark, God now commanded Noah and his family to leave the ark. Once back on dry ground, Noah built an altar and he sacrificed animals on it to thank God for preserving them through such a tough experience. God promised that he would never again curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. We often suppose small children are innocent and sinless, but it's not so. Children don't have to learn how to do wrong things. It's actually the opposite. They need to be taught to do the right things. Man's sinful nature has been passed from Adam to Noah, and it would continue to be passed down onto Noah's descendants even after the flood. Each person is born with a sinful nature, and no external terror or judgment such as the flood can cleanse the human heart of all its evil. Those who heard Noah's warnings didn't turn away from their unbelief and evil ways. Our hearts can be cleansed and renewed only by the forgiveness of Christ and his Holy Spirit working and living within us. The gift of the Holy Spirit is made available to us by the grace of our loving Heavenly Father when we put our faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. God made a covenant with Noah. What is a covenant? In the scriptures, we can see that God made many agreements with individuals and groups of people. Some of these agreements had no conditions attached, while others had binding rules that had to be kept. God's agreement with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden determined what food they could eat and what fruit they couldn't. When God told Noah about a big flood that was coming to cover the whole earth, God made an agreement with Noah that he would save him and his family during the time of the flood. Afterwards, God promised Noah and his descendants that never again would he destroy the world by a flood. God gave them a sign of this promise, and it was a rainbow in the sky that's often seen after rain has fallen. New worldwide conditions also came into effect after the flood. Sharply defined seasons, the rainbow and rain, and a further reduction in the age that people on the earth lived to. The face and atmosphere of the earth was completely changed by the floodwaters. Valleys were cut out in some places and volcanoes appeared in others. If Noah's flood was only a local flood, then God has broken his promise many times over not to destroy the world with water again. And this he cannot do. If people refuse to believe that the ark existed without seeing it, how will they then accept the message of salvation through Jesus Christ that also must be believed without seeing it? Some people have gone to great trouble and expense to build ark replicas and bring home the message of God's judgment on sin. But this even doesn't help those people who don't want to believe the truths of the Bible so they can live independently of God and please themselves. But the Bible warns that such independent living will bring about tragic consequences when the time comes for all people to give an account to God of how they lived their lives on earth. The biblical account of Noah's flood brings into sharp focus. Do we believe what the Bible says about a worldwide flood? Or do we believe what scientists think might have happened instead? Scientists weren't there at the time to see the ark or the flood themselves, but Noah's children who lived through it were given the task of keeping the records of all that had occurred. In Genesis chapter 7, the biblical record states, "The water became deeper and the boat drifted on the surface. It became so deep that it covered the highest mountains. It went on rising until it was about 25 feet above the tops of the mountains." Now that statement doesn't give any room for talking about a local flood. But some worldwide flood deniers are prepared to use any deceit to justify their own position. If someone comes to you and tells you that some section of the Bible doesn't mean what it says, it really means something else, you need to be aware. There are many deceivers out there looking for some Bible illiterate person to tell twisted pieces of truth to. In Genesis chapter 9, God blessed Noah, and he told him and his family to increase in number and fill the earth. Everyone living today in the world has descended from Noah. God gave Noah instructions that people could eat everything that lives and moves for food, but the lifeblood of animals should always be drained away first. God also said that animals will fear humans. Whoever kills a man, his blood will be shed by another man, and that it was in the image of God that God made man. The Lord Jesus gave a warning in Matthew chapter 24 of how things would be when he returned to the earth. "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man," that's Jesus. In Luke chapter 17, he also spoke about the conditions on earth at the time of Noah when he was building the ark. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. People kept on doing the normal, everyday things right up until Noah entered the ark and God opened up the earth's floodwaters. What can we expect from this prediction for end times? The reality is already here. No concern for God in either belief or conduct. Disregard for the sacredness of the marriage relationship. Corruption rife in society. Organized satanic activity. Unreasonable devotion to pleasure and comfort. And rejection of the inspired word of God. As well, there's much war and violence in many countries. The Bible gives us the history of God's creation and dealings with human beings. The most important covenant or agreement of all was, and still is, the New Covenant or Testament that the Lord Jesus Christ introduced to the world around 2,000 years ago. The New Testament covers the story of Jesus and the people who lived during the transition from the old Judaic covenant to the new one of trusting in Jesus Christ as one's Lord and Savior. Jesus saved his most scathing words not for struggling sinners, but for those who were hypocritical believers. They appeared to be one thing, but really were another. Let's make sure that we're not people who bring reproach to the name of Jesus Christ. Each of us has a sphere of influence. Each of us has a group of people who are watching us carefully. They're listening to every word and hoping that we'll fall into sin. Don't give an unbeliever a reason to not believe. When you walk with God, live a godly life to do what he wants you to do. A good testimony will be blessed by the Lord. Four times in Genesis, the Bible says that Noah did everything that God commanded him to do. The ark was salvation from complete destruction for Noah and his family. In the same way, Jesus is the salvation of a believer's soul. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says that if you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus.